expresses his or addresses God as my God. All throughout the scripture, all throughout the gospel, he calls him Abba, Father, Daddy, my Father. And then he goes on to ask, why have you forsaken me? So first of all, he addresses the Father as my God rather than Abba. Then he goes, why have you forsaken me? And it's so strange to me because all throughout the gospel account, you'll read that Jesus states through from his own mouth that I and the Father are one, that we were they were one. And now he's asking, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back on me? Where are you, Father? And something interesting to me is that Jesus asked the most, I would say the most common question asked by human beings. Why? I will just tell you, I have a list of whys that I have for God. So when I see him and if he welcomes me into his glory forever and ever, I have probably a good few hours worth of questions for him. You know, God, why is this? Or why did that happen? Or why didn't you stop this? Or why did you allow that? And we've all been there. Anybody ever asked why? Just raise your hand. Just why does it have to look like this? Why has it always happened to me? Why am I the one suffering? Why am I the one ill? Why am I the one that got passed over on the job that I was highly qualified for yet didn't get? Why does my marriage have to look like this? Why are my kids acting the way they are? Why? Again, I have many things that I would ask God if I could ask him, and they all would start with this, why? And it's so strange to me because, you know, I'm trying to write all this down, like why? And I had to write why it happened the way that it did. And in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10, he actually prophesied about this very moment. And he said in chapter 53, verse 10, that it was the will of the Lord to crush him. In that particular passage of scripture in Isaiah chapter 53, you'll also read that he was pierced for our transgressions and he was crushed for our iniquities. And then verse 10, he states that it was the will of the Lord to crush him, Jesus. It was in this very moment that Jesus felt completely human, forsaken, abandoned. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back on me? And we've all been there, but we've never been in the same position in which Jesus has been on this very day. Because why it happened this way is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 or chapter 5, verse 21. Because it was at this very moment that those words by the Apostle Paul in which he said this, and if you don't have your Bible, if you don't have anything to follow along with, this is what it says, for our sake he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him, Jesus, we, you and I, God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, so whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life. So that in him, Jesus, we, you and me, people like us, sinful people who have broken the law of the Lord, who have sinned against him, we might become the righteousness of God. It was in this very moment that this came to life. It was in this very moment that Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was the very moment in which Jesus truly became sin, and he felt it. And it was in this moment that those watching, their sins were nailed to a tree. It was in this moment that you and I, 2,000 years later, our sins were nailed to a tree. Every sin, every bit of shame, every thought that you have thought, every word that you have spoken, every deed that you have carried out was pierced to a tree. See, something that we have to understand, we have to remember when it comes to the cross of Christ. He was beaten, he was scourged, he was humiliated, he was mocked, he was beaten so bad they didn't recognize him. That was Jesus for you and for me. And we come in here casually, oh, thank you, Jesus. Can't believe it was an hour and 10 minutes. Gosh, hour and 15. God. Jesus, I had stuff to do. I had dinner on. Jesus, I had shopping. And I've been there. You know, college basketball season, it's March Madness time. Or Super Bowl Sunday. Like, I got stuff to do, Jesus. But I don't know if we truly understand that it was in this very moment that every single everything that you and I have done was nailed to a tree. Everything. Every thought that never became a word. Every idea that actually wasn't carried out in deed. But it also covers everything that was spoken. Everything that was carried out. Everything that you have done that goes against the way and the word of our God was pierced to a tree. And Jesus felt it. He was abandoned and he was forsaken. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says this, "For the wages of sin is death." And what we have to understand about this is not just simply meaning if you live in sin, you're going to breathe your last breath one day here on this earth and you are going to die. Because last time I checked, there is a 1 in 1 chance, 100% chance, that you and I will breathe our last breath on this earth. Sometimes it comes much earlier than we are hoping for and wanting for. But that's not what the Apostle Paul was saying. He's not saying for the wages of your sin means you're going to breathe your last breath. What he's truly trying to get to is that this death that the Apostle Paul mentions is an eternal separation from our God. Why did Jesus cry out? Why have you forsaken me? Where are you? I am now alone. Jesus felt completely human. And in that very moment as Jesus was hanging on the cross in pitch black, as his soul was darkened and broken and he was broken bodied, and as he hung there crying out, "Why have you forsaken me?" It was because he was paying the wages of your sin. He was paying the wages of my sin. And what we have to understand is that death, if we continue to live our lives in sin, and you can live it for the rest of your life, I'm not going to condemn you. I would encourage you to repent of your sin and truly follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I would encourage you and I would highly recommend you doing that. But I'm not going to make you, you know, confess your sins to him and repent. You can live however you choose to live as long as you want to do it. And if you choose to live in your own sin, you will find that eventually, one day, you will pay the wages of your sin. And it is eternal separation from our God. To be eternally separated from him. And it was in this very moment that Jesus, as he cried out, he experienced the pain and the punishment that you and I deserved to experience. It was the pain and the punishment that you and I should have experienced, that you and I are deserving of. We have sinned. Anybody else sinned, or is it just me? Like, I have sinned, church. I'm sorry. I know 2.5 years ago you were expecting a perfect preacher, and I didn't make it one day in 2.5 years. I'm just being real. Like, I lose my patience. I say things I shouldn't. I've done things I shouldn't. I lose it. I snap on people. I snap. I'm not loving all the time. I think things I shouldn't think. I say things I shouldn't say. I do things. But it was this very moment that as Jesus was hanging there, as he cried out, he was experiencing the pain and punishment that you and I are deserving of. Blood pouring out, arms stretched wide. He was just moments away from breathing his last breath. And the beautiful thing is that this is the greatest expression of God's love for you and for me. The greatest expression of God's love for you and for me is the picture of, the scene of, and the reality of the cross of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You sin, I sin, we make mistakes, we fall short. But it was this moment of abandonment. I believe that because he screamed, the Bible says that with a loud voice, he screamed. He was suffering. He was in pain and anguish. He was struggling in this very moment. Here is why I believe it. And I had to write it down because I would have messed it up if I wouldn't have written it down. It's because this moment of abandonment was the weight of hell upon him so that he could open the way to heaven. That was the weight of hell resting upon him, and he was experiencing, he was feeling it. He felt the pain and the weight of our sin and our shame. And what he did was he stayed there. He said, "Why have you forsaken me?" He was forsaken because you and I no longer have to be. This is the true picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you and I, sinners, broken people, can be brought to new life. Jesus gave himself up willingly, willingly put himself there as he cried out before he was arrested, God, if there's any other way, remove this cup because I don't know if I could do it. Remove it. However, not my will, but your will be done. So what was the Father's will? Well, we've just read it, or I mentioned it, Isaiah 53, that he was to crush him. And I know it's very difficult to wrap your mind around the idea that God the Father would, it would bring him pleasure to crush God the Son. And I know it's confusing to think that was what the Lord willed and what the Lord wanted. And it was at this picture that we see Jesus truly suffering in which we were deserving of. But I want to mention a few things that I want us to really wrap our minds around as we picture and as we visualize Jesus screaming out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it is this few things here. One is sin equals separation. Sin equals separation. You know that if you sin in your marriage, there is a bit of separation and there is not always closeness. If you sin in your relationship with your kids, and there is not always this unity and this closeness. If you sin against family, if you sin against friends, if you sin against God, there is not as the closeness that we are called to have, because we are all sinful and we all make mistakes. So we're always, always kind of separating ourselves from God, and it's because of our sin. Just plain and clear, it is sin. Sin equals separation. Why was Jesus separated from God the Father on this very moment? Because he was feeling the weight and the punishment of our sin. It equals separation. And we also have to understand this, sin is serious. Sin is serious. And I know that some of us, probably all of us, have that one little thing that it's not really a big deal to us. It's not really a big deal to anybody. It doesn't hurt anyone. It hasn't caused any problems in my relationships or in my marriage, or you know, I haven't been to jail for it, so it can't be that big a deal. What I want you to understand is that sin is serious, and shame on us for thinking that we can casually walk into church, praise the name of Jesus, and then comfortably live in sin. It's wrong. And how foolish of us to think I can comfortably live in sin and then casually worship the name of Jesus and everything's A-okay, everything's good. He saw me in church today. He may not have seen me all week, or he didn't want to see me all week, but here I am lifting up his holy name on Sunday, and here I am. Everything's great. What I want you to know, church, is sin is serious. You cannot love your Savior and also love your sin. You cannot. And we cannot just comfortably live in sin and then casually worship the name of Jesus. What I want you to know, even the smallest of things that you and I do, it still put Jesus on a tree. It still nailed him to the cross. The wages of sin. It doesn't say what sin. See, it says the wages of sin. Small and large. Nailed him to a tree so that he would die for us. And shame on us for comfortably living in it and then casually worshiping him. Shame on us for thinking that we're better than anyone else at doing it and that we could just live with it. And here we are in America thinking that we're some spoiled breed of Christianity that can just do what we want and how we want and everything's great. And God sees us posting things on Facebook, or God sees us in our church attendance. No, no, no. Here's what I want you to know. God sees your heart and he desires that completely. That is what he wants. He is after your heart. And he doesn't want just this half-hearted worship and half-hearted sinfulness. He wants complete worship of your heart and of your life every single day. I understand we make mistakes, we fall short, and things are sometimes really hard to break. But we have to understand that sin is serious. We have to understand that sin is serious. It led to Jesus, the Son, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back on me? We also see that sin condemns. The complete condemnation of God was poured out upon Christ while hanging on the cross. Sin condemns. And sin also creates conflict. If we sin in our relationships, there will be conflict. If we sin against our God, there will be conflict. If we choose to walk in darkness, we can't also experience the life that's found in the light. If we choose to live in sin and shame, we can't experience the blessings in which God truly has for us. If we want to be called Christians, we can't live as the world, or there will be conflict. Sin is always trying to bring us to this point where we think that we're okay, and I want you to know we're really not. If we choose to comfortably live in our sin, one, we will pay the wages. And secondly, we will experience the weight of it. Jesus experienced it 2,000 years ago. This is why it's so important for us to understand this, that this picture right here, when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? When he cried that out, this is the picture of the gospel. This is it, that Jesus Christ would take your place. That Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago took my place. And it shows us that our wages have been paid. I don't know about you, but I love going to dinner, and I love whenever my dinner is paid for by someone else. I love it. Sometimes I invite certain people because I think there's a chance that they will pay for my dinner. So if I invite you to dinner, don't take that as a hint or anything. I would like to go to dinner with you. But some people I really like going to dinner with because I know they'll pay. But there's nothing better than eating a great meal and then walking out without ever having to get into your wallet. They got it covered. And this is the picture of this very moment that Jesus Christ paid the wages of our sin. We get to walk in this life, in the freedom and the abundance of life found in Christ Jesus, without ever paying anything, because it was all paid for already. We get to walk out of the restaurant after experiencing the great meal, tasty meal, and plenty of refills, and maybe even dessert if we're real lucky. We get to walk out of there after appreciating that great meal and free of charge. And the beautiful thing in the gospel story and the message of Jesus Christ is that he came, he lived a perfect life, he died on the cross for people like you and for people like me so that we could walk upright in his righteousness. He made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, become sin on our behalf so that we could walk in the righteousness of God, so that you and I, every single day of our lives, can live in the freedom in which Jesus gives. Jesus was forsaken so that you could be free. Jesus was separated so that you could live in life. Jesus gave himself to death so you could live in life with him. He knew that you and I deserve it. He knew that we would never live up to his expectation and his standard. So instead of trying to expect us to live there, he came down here and gave himself up as a ransom for many. And he didn't come to be served, but to serve. And he gave himself completely and freely so that people like you and me 2,000 years later can come to repentance. We can call out to the name of Jesus, seeking his forgiveness and his freedom. And we could come to a worship service like this after living however we want to live. And really, we might actually face that there's a little bit of conflict stirring within in our heart, because we are open our eyes to the fact that the wages of sin is death, and that Jesus Christ paid our wages so that you and I, if we truly surrender our heart and our lives to him, repent of our sin, and call upon the name of Jesus Christ as Lord, we can walk free. That's the good news. I don't care what you came chained to today, you can walk free. I don't care what addictions you struggle with. I don't care what thoughts you struggle with. I don't care what sin you currently live in. You have an opportunity to walk out of here free, changed differently than you came in. So understanding this, understanding it, I want us to list a few things real quick how we can respond to it. So Jesus was forsaken so that we don't have to be. So how do we respond? I got three things that I want us to cover real quick, and then we'll be gone. verse says to receive the free gift. Receive the free gift. See, I read you 6:23, part A. There's a beautiful part B of that particular text. But I told you over and over, church, I love the buts of the Bible. But the free gift of God, the free gift, many of you walk out free. Free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the good news. That is why you're here today, and I hope that you don't leave until you understand that the free gift of God is eternal life found in Christ Jesus. So what do we do? Well, first we have to cry out to Him in prayer, seeking His forgiveness. We then have to repent of our sin and turn from our wicked ways and turn to Him and follow Him. We have to come into relationship with Him. We are commanded by Peter to be baptized in His name for the forgiveness of sin and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and walk the rest of our lives in the freedom and the abundance of life found in Jesus and the salvation that He gives. So that is the first thing that we do in response to it, is we receive the gift of eternal life. And if you're here today and you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, great for you. But if you're here today and you truly haven't surrendered your heart and life to Him and asked Him to forgive you, then here in just a few minutes, I want to invite you to do that. Church, there's no more time to waste and play around, because you do not know what tomorrow will hold. And I want you to know that today could be the day of salvation. Today could be the day that you walk free. Today could be the day that you rejoice in praise, worship, and thanksgiving for the price that was paid for you, even though you didn't have the money to pay it, even though you don't live the life that deserves it. It was freely given to you. So the first thing that we have to do is to receive the free gift. Secondly, we have to fully surrender. Something that we have to understand is that the price is steeper for what we love the most. You will pay more money for the things that you love the most. So the cost is steeper for what we love the most. And God loved you so much. The price was nailing His Son on a tree. His price was crushing Him. The price was piercing Him for our transgressions. And here we are in 2,000 years later, 2019, reading this story that God so loved the world that He sent His only Son. It's not just a beautiful story, and it's nothing we can just look past, but it is something that we must live in, that the fact that Jesus was forsaken so we can live free. And the third thing is we must tell other people. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you have truly put your faith and trust in Him, confess your sins, repent of your sins. If you are a Christian here today, a true, genuine follower, you have the best news in the entire world. It's better than CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, KMOV, KSDK, or even the IJ. I don't care where you get your news. It's better than all of them. No offense, Hunter. But it's better than all of them. You have the good news of Jesus Christ, that He came, He died, He rose again to give you eternal life. That's the best news you could ever hear or ever give. And you have it. I have it. So why are we so quiet sometimes with our faith? We'll tell people on Yelp just how horrible the service was or just how magnificent the service was. We'll leave a 5-star, 1-star. We'll go on Facebook, check into, comment about, and even share it with our family and friends, what restaurants we've tried, what clothes we like, what music we enjoy, anything that we like. I've said it before. If you think something is good, you will share it. So if you think the message of Jesus Christ coming and dying on a cross for your sin and rising on the third day, if you think it's good, you will share it. So if you have the good news, tell other people. Tell other people. We'll tell them everything else in this world, but we are so silent with our faith. Guess what? We don't want to offend people. I don't care. I'm never going to stand before those people and be judged according to what I did while on this earth. I would hate to stand before God one day and Him ask me, why didn't you tell other people about the free gift I gave for you? Why didn't you? You had opportunity after opportunity to remind people that I love them so much. I gave my only Son for them. I would hate to be asked that question. I have many questions for God that start with why. I would hate for his first question to me start with why. Why didn't you? Why didn't you? So why don't we, church, tell other people? Our friends, our family, our Facebook friends, co-workers, strangers, neighbors, anybody. You truly believe the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. You will tell people. You know, at the end of last year, I asked you to write down three people that you wanted to see sitting in church next to you in the calendar year of 2019. Just three people. Do we have room for them? No, but they still need to come. We'll sit on each other's lap. We'll sit in the floor. We'll even push some of y'all outside, and you can just chill out there for a while. All right? Don't be offended, though. All right? But seriously, we don't have room for all of us to bring in three more people, but we'll make it. And it's important. I would rather be more concerned about where are we going to put these people than why aren't we reaching them? So three people that I had you, if you weren't here when I asked it, I had everybody write down three people they wanted to see sitting in church next to them in the calendar year of 2019. Well, here's the opportunity that you have over the next 3 weeks. Easter is coming. When are more people more willing to go to church? Easter morning. You have 3 weeks to reach three people to get them here or in any church. It doesn't have to be here, but we would invite them in for our sunrise service at 6:30 or our regular worship service at 9 a.m. 3 weeks for three people to tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ, loving them right where they are, reminding them the price that was paid for them, encouraging them that Jesus has greater plans for them than the current struggles or sin that they live in. That's the challenge. Three people, 3 weeks. Are we willing to tell them? Or are we going to remain silent and watch people drown themselves in sin and wondering why they didn't change? Because no one was willing to confront them with the love of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you have an opportunity, church, to not just walk in, but to walk with others in the good news and in the freedom that Jesus Christ gives. So what I want us to do today before I close is I want us to go back to the very scene of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. And I want you to picture that sight for just a moment before we pray, worship, and go on our merry way. But I want you to truly examine your own heart right now in this very moment. Church, I love all of you too much. Even if I don't know you, I love you because you are created in the image of our Father. You are valuable. You are important. You are loved. And I love you all too much to remain silent and just tell you to keep doing how you're doing. But I want you to truly examine your own heart right now in this very moment. I want this last bit of prayer and song to be as intimate moment as you can have with our Lord and Savior. I want you to ask yourself, have you truly surrendered all to Him? And maybe you're okay with not, but I cannot first go on without inviting you up. Because here's what I'm going to just tell you. During this last song, during this prayer, I'm going to sit right down on this step. And I want to invite you, if you have not truly surrendered all to Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to join me at this step. Maybe you can't get out because there's people in your way. Move them. Move them. If we understood the price paid, we would live differently. So in this moment, as we pray and as we sing, you can stand, you can sit, you can pray where you are. I want to invite you up to this step to surrender all. We have church leaders and spiritual leaders that would be willing to pray with you and to pray for you. So that you